Well, thank you everybody for being here. I gotta get used to this mic. I gotta bring it up a little bit. Oh well, we'll make it work. Anyway, well, we can turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm gonna read verses 4 through 7 just to start, and then we'll get into it. But it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Lord, I pray that you'll speak with this time. As Stephen and I are preaching, Lord, I pray that you'll calm our nerves as we're up here. I pray that you'll just help us speak the things that you would have us to speak. I pray that you'll help others grow from this, help us to grow from what we're preaching, because I know I need what I'm preaching probably more than anybody else here. God, and I pray that you'll just help to continue to make this truth real in my life, and I pray that you'll just help us to implement it a little bit better in the upcoming year here. We thank you for all the health and everything you've done for us in the past, and we pray that you'll continue to provide for us in the future. In your name, amen. Well, all growing up, whenever I was on the phone, I would generally be talking to my family, and right before we hung up, just about every single time, you would always say, "I love you, bye." You'd always say, "I love you, bye." Now, that sounds like a normal thing, which, you know, you love your family. But the question is, what is the word love? What does love mean? What is so important about love that God would call it the greatest commandment? In Mark 12:30, a Pharisee walked up to Jesus and he asked Jesus, "So, Master, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus replied and said, "To love God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." Love is the first great commandment. Also here in 1 Corinthians 13, God inspired and told Paul to write an entire chapter dedicated just to this one fruit of the Spirit, love. And as I was thinking about it, I was, okay, so love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is the greatest commandment. But what exactly is love? If we have an entire chapter here that, or a section of this chapter where Paul goes through and explains the different aspects of what love really is. And I was just going to go through that. And, you know, it's just really interesting to me to see, you know, what love is. I was thinking about this word, and I came up with my own definition for this. And what my definition was love is the selfless giving of one's time, rights, possessions, or even life for someone else. How are you doing loving others? How are you doing loving others? Are you willing to give your time, your rights, your possessions? Have you been willing to put your life in harm's way for somebody else? Are you willing to do those things? And as we read verses 4 through 6, this letter was obviously written to the church in Corinth, to the Corinthians, and they had quite a few problems. The Corinthians church did. You know, Paul goes through the first half of the book, and he goes through different things that he's setting them straight on, but they also had a lot of things they were doing right. They had a lot of faith. They had a lot of knowledge. They were extremely gifted. If there was a church you would want to go to, it would probably be theirs. Because Corinth had everything right. They had everybody who could speak in tongues. They had people who could sing very well. They had people who obviously knew Paul. They knew what they were talking about. But Paul wanted to remind them, it doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how good you are at what you do. If people don't get blessed by it, if people don't see the sincerity in your life, if people don't know that you love them and you truly care about them, no matter how much you do for them, doesn't really matter. If I walked up to a random person on the street and gave them $5, they'd be thankful, right? But if I walked up to my niece and I handed her $5, she would be ecstatic, because to her, that's me showing my love to her. A good thing done without the right attitude can completely negate everything you're trying to do. And tonight, I wanted to look at two possibilities for how we can have love in our lives. And the first one is, we're going to go through and we're going to look at, you know, the different things that we shouldn't be doing. We need to strive not to be unloving. And, you know, just going through these verses, and I tried to put them in order. I think I got a couple of them out of order, but just starting out, it says love, it says charity envieth not. Charity doesn't always want what somebody else has. But love can be excited for something somebody else has. If somebody in the church is given a free vehicle and you look at them and you think, oh, I want that car, you're not loving them. If every time something good happens to somebody else, you demand and wonder why it hasn't happened to you, you aren't loving. You're envying. The next one, it says, charity vaunteth not itself. Now, I went through Webster's 1828, and I got a couple definitions, because I don't know what all these words mean. And in there it says, vaunt means to brag about what somebody has accomplished. And if you watch the world of sports, one name comes to mind right now, and that's Richard Sherman from the Seattle Seahawks last year. Richard Sherman had a lot of time on the news last year, not only because he was really good at what he did, but he was really good about letting everybody know how good he was at what he did. And that's vaunting. It's telling everyone else how good you are and why they need to know it. And the third one is, says that charity is not puffed up. And this also has to do with vaunting yourself and being filled up with pride. But as I was thinking about being puffed up, I was thinking about the phrase we use is too big for your britches. If you're puffed up, you can no longer fit. You can no longer keep yourself within the container it's meant to belong in. So as you get puffed up, you get filled with pride, and you no longer recognize where you belong. The fourth one is, does not behave unseemly. And I looked this one up as well, and it says, unseemly has to do with being indecent or unbecoming of how one ought to behave. And we shouldn't be acting in such a way that would be indecent. We need to present ourselves in a way that is respectful to others around us. We need to understand our behavior in certain situations and what it should be. And I was thinking of somebody who a couple of years ago had a lot of international attention, and it was Imelda Marcos. Imelda Marcos was at one time the First Lady of the Philippines, and she had a lot of problems, and one of them was her love for shoes. Now, this lady had over 1,000 pairs of shoes in her house. She had a couple mink coats. But the problem was, many of the people in the Philippines were dying of starvation because they didn't have enough money to buy food, while this lady was behaving herself unseemly in a way that was not decent and going out and splurging on all these shoes and had not a care for anybody else in her country. The next is that charity is not easily provoked. And, you know, when I think of this, I think about myself, because I know sometimes I lose my temper. And I think, how much does it take for me to blow up at somebody else? How much does it take for me to get upset? Now, I'll have to admit, I'm pretty easily provoked sometimes. And when I blow up or when I get angry at somebody, I'm not showing them love. The next is, thinks no evil. Now, when I first read this, I thought, how do I do with that? Because everybody always, just about, unless you guys are much better people than I am, because you probably are. But I have a problem with when I meet somebody, I think, or sometimes when I meet somebody and they're friendly to me, I think, okay, what do they want? What do they want from me that I might have? What are they trying to get? Because for me, I don't always think no evil. Sometimes I don't always assume the best of people, I assume the worst. And I know that's something for me that I need to work on, but also it's something that, you know, God commands us not to do. He wants us to focus on what somebody's doing right. Rejoices, not iniquity, is the last one. And this one's really simple. If somebody's doing something wrong, be willing to tell them. Sometimes you have to be firm. Don't be mean, but you have to be respectful and firm if somebody's doing something wrong. Sin always needs to be spoken to, but not spoken about. When you're speaking to sin, you talk to that person directly. When you're speaking about sin, you go to everybody else. And that's what we need to do. And, well, now that we've seen that we need to strive to not be unloving, let's look at Paul's blueprint that God gave him for us to be able to show love. And it starts out and it says, charity suffereth long, in verse 4. Charity suffereth long. And this is kind of the opposite to is easily provoked. It's a little bit of the same thing, but it also has to do with being able to keep yourself under control. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Kindness is an interesting thing. I know Christ said that if somebody, you know, compels you to walk a mile, go with them twain. And it was really interesting in that setting because the Roman soldiers at any time could tell any Jewish citizen at any time, I want you to carry all of my stuff for 1 mile. And the mile was the requirement. But if you were to go 2, people would wonder what was wrong with you. Why are you voluntarily for an entire mile to carry something for somebody who hates you, somebody who treats you like property, somebody who overran our country? Why would you do something like that? Well, kindness. It's part of love. Charity rejoices in truth. The best way to help somebody to get better is to catch them doing something right. And the more you catch somebody doing something right, the more you can remind them of the things that they've done correctly. And if you rejoice in truth, if you rejoice in the things that they've been able to accomplish, you're showing them love, but you're helping them to love others as well. Because they can then take what time and what effort you've put into them and put into others. Charity also, it never fails. It says that in verse 8 and in verse 7, it says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And at first I was like, why would Paul just put all those right in a row like that without, you know, really any explanation? So I looked up the word hope, and it says to desire something and believe that is that it is attainable. To desire thing and to desire something to believe that it is attainable. If, let's say, I decide tomorrow I want $1 million. So for me, I want $1 million. I desire that. But if I don't go out and start working, if I don't go put effort and believe that it's attainable through hard work or through investments, then I'm not hoping because I don't then believe that it is attainable. And I also looked up a couple of the others, and the last one was endure. And endure means to last or to continue in the same state as it was before. So if you're going to endure something, you have to understand that offenses will come. You have to understand that even though you can try your hardest to be as loving as you can, people will offend you. It's going to happen. Christ said offenses will come. And the important thing is to remember that even when you're offended, you need to last. You need to continue in the same state as before. If you were loving them before it happened, you need to love them after it happened. You need to endure in your love for that person. And now that we've looked at our two possibilities with interacting with others in relation to love, what will you do to make sure that your life this next year will show more of God's love for others? Will you continue to be unloving, or will you choose to implement the things that God has given us and love others like he's commanded us?